Rabotai, I want to thank again every Freeman for taking some time from his busy schedule to come and address some of our questions, go through some of the different yonim. If there's time, at the end, maybe the last couple of minutes, or if somebody has any follow-up questions or other questions they want to ask, just to just give a couple minutes right before Minso. But Rav had definitely has some questions to go through, so yeah. I'd like to get through some of these questions. Thank you very much.
What time should I try to finish?
Minso is 2:05, 2:04.
Uh-huh.
So
stop
around 2 o'clock, maybe.
Okay. Okay. Let's see what we can do. Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for bringing me back, Rabbi Schlissel. Okay, so we have a number of different questions here on a lot of different topics, like usual. A little bit about Pesach, not a lot. Just a couple of questions on Pesach, so we'll try to get to those. But maybe we'll start with some of the other ones. There are two questions here about Gneivas Das. Rabbi Schlissel mentioned that this has been a discussion lately. One question was, is it Gneivas Das to give somebody a gift if I'm only giving it to him because I can replace it very easily? But he doesn't realize that. He thinks that it's really coming from me, something which I'm gonna be missing. I'm giving it up for him. I'm not gonna have it. Am I allowed to give it to him? And the other question was, can I invite somebody to a simcha party, whatever it is, and I know that he can't come. I know he's gonna be away that Shabbos, so that whenever it is that time. And if I really thought he could come, I wouldn't invite him. I really don't want him there. And if I thought he could come, I wouldn't invite him. I'm only invited. I say, here I can cash in on some goodwill. I'll invite him, knowing that he's not going to be there anyway, and et cetera. So is that Gneivas Das? Okay, so the basic rule, like one of the rules by Gneivas Das is that you're not allowed to do something that gives the person an impression, a false impression, about your feelings towards him or what you are doing for him, if you're actually causing that false impression, you're misleading him, and particularly when you're doing it in order to engender the good feelings that he should feel shtickel mechuyev to you, because look what I did for him, so now he's going to feel that he has to reciprocate to me, and it's really not true. It didn't do it at all. But if there's a big yisod in Gneivas Das, that if the person is gonev das atzmo, if he's tricking himself, meaning he's the one who's making assumptions which I didn't necessarily cause, then I'm not responsible. So, Lamashal, let's say I'm walking somewhere and I go to a shul and somebody's making a simcha that Shabbos. And I go to that shul regularly or quite often and I go anyway. And I came to the shul, I didn't come for his simcha, maybe I didn't even realize he was making a simcha or whatever, but I came to the shul like usual. And I walk in there, and he says, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, thank you so much for coming. It's really nice of you to come. You have a far walk or whatever it is, you know." And he assumes that I came for him, where it's not really a valid assumption. It's not like I don't belong. This is where I am very frequently, and there's no real reason for him to think. And I didn't do any. I didn't try to give him the impression I came for him, but he thinks I came for him. So that's gun of das atzma. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to tell him the truth and, you know, burst his bubble. So I wasn't going to his das. So I think in the question with the gift, it's that way. If I give him something which he's going to think that I can't replace it, but I'm not doing anything to give him that impression specifically. I'm giving it to this because I know it's something he'd like, and I guess it's something he can't get easily, but I could get easily. So I give it to him, and there's no real reason why he should think that it's it's Yikara Metzias, it's a difficult thing to get, then that wouldn't be a problem. If it would be the other way, if it's something where it's really unusual that you should have such a thing, and to give it to him, you really are sending a message that I'm giving this up at a degree of self-sacrifice, and he's going to feel really behooven to me. He's going to feel that he owes me one. That could be a problem with Gneivas Das. But if you just give it to him and he makes the assumption, then that would be okay. But the other thing is a real shaila, it's a real problem to invite somebody when you really, like I said, you don't feel so close to him, and you just assume he not be at your simcha. You'll enjoy yourself more if you don't have to entertain him or whatever it is, host him. and you really wouldn't invite him, but you're chapping a Ryan. Oh, he's not. I know he's going to be. I'll chap a Ryan and get some brownie points by inviting him. Then that's a real issue of Gnevis Das, because you're doing exactly what your mom is being goyi daito. You're doing this specifically that he should feel that sense, like he owes you one, that you're so nice to him, you're so good to him, and really it's a nechlik and tug. It's not true at all. Then that is a problem with Gnevis Das. Okay. Now, here's another question, which is a very specific question, but it has it's a very general answer. The question is, a person writes that he's, Baruch Hashem, growing in his Yiddishkeit, in his Shemiras HaMitzvahs, and he would like to use wine by the Seder. I didn't even count this as one of the Pesach questions, but I guess we can get credit for both. This could be a Pesach question and a Kibbutz Avim question. It's the question, I would like to use wine by the Seder, but my parents don't really let. What should I do? The person writes that he's in Beis Medrash. Okay, so so he wants to know, should he would like to use wine. Okay, so this to answer this question, it involves some specific details about the chiyuv of wine at the Seder, and involves a general shaila of kibbutz avim and these types of things when the parent does want. So let's start with the general. The general rule is that if you learn your vamos this year, right? So you have the sugya, say Dochalos, as I said, you learn that Atav Avicha Mitzuyavim Bechvodi, right? If your father tells you to do an Aveira, your father, your mother tell you to do an Aveira or not to do a mitzvah, something that you mechuyev to do, and they tell you, don't go to davening, sleep late, get up at 11 o'clock, you know, Shabbos morning, and miss Shacharis, miss Minyan, everything, you're not allowed to do that. If your parents tell you know, to be mevatel a mitzvah, to do an Aveira, you're not allowed to do that, because even though you're mechuyev in the covenant of your parents, but they're also mechuyev in the covenant of the Eibishter, of the Ribono Shelam, so that overrides. But that's where it's for sure an Aveira, or bittul mitzvah. Let's say something which is not necessarily, let's say something which is two ways of doing something. And maybe there's a better way, and there's a not as good way, but you would say the mitzvah as well. Or let's say something which is absolutely, let's say a hidur, it's a mila, but you don't have to do it. It's not something you must do, and plenty of people don't do it, and they're not nice and firm Jews. But yeah, it's a mila. It's a mila to do. It's the right thing to do. It's a proper thing to do, but you don't have to do it. Then it's not so posh. Then many times, if your parents have a legitimate reason why they don't want you to do it, they don't feel it's good for you, or they for some other reason, they feel that it's not... No, they don't want you to do it. Not stam. They're not just trying to get you. They're not trying to stifle you and to stifle your growth. But they just don't feel that this is the thing that they want. They're ready for their son to start doing. Let's say lamashal. I don't know. You want to wear a certain mode of dress, which is much more yeshivish, and you're dressing fine now. You're wearing a nice gray suit on Shabbos and mechubedik. It's sukkah pasta. It's appropriate for ben taira. But you want to wear, a black suit or whatever. So you want to do something which is like maybe a higher madrega, or at least maybe it is, maybe it isn't, this particular example. But let's say, especially when you're at an older age where one arguably it is, but your parents are opposed to it. They don't think, look, when you're married, when you're on, you'll do it right now. We prefer this. We don't want to see you, go overboard or go too fast or whatever. So then it's really a case-by-case shaila, because you really have to something get into the details. Are we talking about something that's just like a chumra ba'almo or a hidur, or maybe not even that, just a nice thing? Or are we talking about something which has, as far as an halacha? So now this particular case, whether or not one has to drink wine at the Seder for the Dalet Kosos as opposed to grape juice, obviously, I mean, that's the other choice. It doesn't say, but I assume that's the other choice. I'm not asking you to drink, Pepsi Cola for the Dalet Kosos, or not to drink the Dalet Kosos. I assume they'd rather he drink grape juice, because they don't want him drinking wine. It's not so good for you. Too much wine, you're too young, whatever it is. So assuming they have a semi-legitimate reason, so the question is, well, do you have to drink wine? So it's a big machlokas poskim. It's true, Rav Moshe Zatzal was very makpid on this, that you have to drink wine for the Dalet Kosos, not grape juice, because he says if you drink grape juice, you yotzi the etzem mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, but you're not yotzi what's called cheres. You're the yayin yotzi, you're the cheres lo yotzi. You're not yotzi the additional aspect of cheres. For cheres, you need something that has a intoxicating element to it, that's meshaker. This is Rav Moshe held, and they bring this from Rav Yashiv as well. There are other great, great poskim that held not like that. The Brisker Rav, for example, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and other Gedolei Olam held that it's not necessary at all. That wine, grape juice is wine, l'chol dinei Torah. The grape juice is equals wine, and you can be ochi just as well with grape juice as you can with wine. So the shaila is okay. So here's a machlokas poskim. So machlokas poskim, but we have really, you know, Gedolei Olam saying that it's fine, and your parents, if they have a legitimate reason why they feel wine is not good for you. So I would think in a case like this, you should respect their wishes, because there are plenty of, you know, gedolim, chash of a gedolim, real gedolim of great stature to rely on, and they themselves did it, themselves drank grape juice instead of wine. Now, but it might not be all or nothing, meaning maybe your parents might be masking if the wine is a very low alcohol wine, or if even it's a mixture. Because when we say drink wine, this is one of the shaila people, many people ask, okay, if I want to drink wine for the Seder, because Ramesh holds you have to drink wine, How alcoholic does it have to be? What percent of alcohol? So there are different, Rav Moshe, I don't think, gave a number, but there are different numbers said in the name of Rav David Feinstein, in the name of Rav Moshe Heinemann, different. It seems somewhere around 5% is good enough, which is not a very strong level of alcohol. So maybe your parents would be masking to that, or maybe they'd be masking that you mix the wine with grape juice. You take a higher alcoholic wine, if that's all you have, but you mix it with grape juice so that it comes out to be only around 5%. The idea is that it shouldn't go down like mamish smooth like grape juice. It should feel a little bit the pinch, the sting of wine. It doesn't have to be major. So maybe that'd be maskim to that. If they'd be maskim to that, then avadi should do that and yotzei l'chaladeis. But if they're not, if they say no, we don't want to bring wine to this house. We don't want our son drinking wine. And there are, you look at the Gemara, a yayin could bring a lot of mecholim. A lot of bad things happen. We're not too far away from Parshas Naso. Well, we're only in Vayikra, but time flies. And at Parshas Naso, you see all the Chazal there are talking about all the evils that wine could bring. Yeah, wine has good things too, no question about it. And wine is used all over the place in Kiyama Mitzvahs. But wine can bring all sorts of mecholim. So it's not such a wild thing that your parents, maybe it's a little bit extreme, or maybe they, I don't know who wrote the shaila, looks like a fine person judging by the hand. I'm a big expert on handwriting, looks like a very fine bacher. But who knows, maybe he wrote it for a friend who's not such a great bacher, who has a little bit of a problem, and maybe a tendency, his parents are worried about it, and they think, we got to keep him completely off it. You have to know these things. But whatever, if the parents are makbid on it, my personal feeling is that in this case, you should respect their wishes, and you'll be somichon, as I said, the Brisker Rav and Rebekah Kinesky, and Rishlam Zaman Aryabach, another Gedolei Olam who held that grape juice is just as good for the Dalakaisis. And when you're on your own, and you're running your own Seder, so then you could go to the next step. That's what I would say. But I hope I got the point across, that it's when it's something that's not an absolute mitzvah or aveira, it's a question of, as I said, a hidur or a maila or a chumra, then you have to take it case, and it was, like the person did, by asking this question. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. And, in this case, I believe he should go with the grape juice and be able to see the mitzvah that way. Okay, next question. Also, it could be a very general question. And then maybe we'll get to Pesach more. Am I obligated to say something if I see my friend doing something wrong, like eating something with a questionable hechsher or talking during Kaddish, etc.? If I don't say something, does it give the impression that I don't think it's a big deal? So we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Teichacha, right? Hochech, Hochech, Hazam Yisecha. And if you learn the Gemara, but Hochech, it's pretty extreme. It says, even if he's not going to listen to you, assuming it's something that's Mefurish Batara, at least, you definitely have to be mochiach him, even if you don't think he's going to listen to you, and even if he's going to react violently, you still have to be mochiach. But many say that's talking about when there's a havamina, that the tochacha will have the desired effect. Talking about when the person is being mochiach, knows what he's doing. First of all, he's doing it out of care and concern. He's not doing it out of because, I don't really like this guy, and if I see him doing something wrong, I have a chance to bash him, so I'm not going to let that chance go by. That's not tochacha. Tochacha is because, as amisecha, I feel somebody that I'm she'itcha b'tarav mitzvahs, a fellow yid who's a good person or could be a good person, and I'd like to see him be a good person. I really care about him like I care about myself and care about my family. And for that reason, I want to be mochichim. And I know the halacha of losisal of chay, that I know how to be mochichim without embarrassing him, not to do it in front of other people, not to do it in a way that's, going to cause him to be embarrassed, but to do it in a in a, you know, with camaraderie, with friendship, with love, and etc. So we're not so good at that nowadays, and we're not really great. The Chazal say already that, you know, people aren't so good at being mochiach, and therefore, we're not mochiach in a lot of cases. Now, in a case like that, if you talk about two guys in yeshiva, and one guy is doing something which, it's really beneath his madrega, and maybe he doesn't even realize exactly the chum, let's say, talking during Kaddish. He doesn't realize that talking during Kaddish is very chum. You look at the Mishnah Berurah in numerous places. Mishnah Berurah is very makbid on it. Even davening, right? Even davening, if you're in the middle of davening and they're up to Kaddish, you have to stop. You have to stop, at least till the Amen of Damir and Ba'om of Imru Amen, the main part of, you know, we call Chatzi Kaddish. You have to stop. You're not supposed to continue davening then, unless you're in Shemoneh Esrei. Even Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to listen to Amen Yishmei Rabbah, but then you can continue. But if you're not in Shemoneh Esrei, you're really supposed to stop and listen and answer the main, you know, the Amen Yishmei Rabbah and the Amen after Damir and Ba'omah. Certainly not to talk, Dvarim B'Teilim, and not to take off your tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not be wrapping up your tefillin during Kaddish. Mishnah Berurah is very chum in a number of places. So you see somebody's talking during Kaddish, so that's Taka Davar Chamor, and also it's more than Davar Chamor. It's a Chil Hashem, because if he's talking, then, you know, that means he's not talking to himself, most likely. If he's talking to himself, you would have phrased the question differently. He says he's talking to the next guy, and that means already two people, at least two people are involved, and maybe more. And it also could be might be disturbing you, or disturbing people around them, or staring the whole, you know, disturbing the whole atmosphere of the davening. So that's something that's you know. So if you feel that you're in a position to you know, bring it up to him and try to impress upon him the chomer adav, etc. Or especially if he's a guy that he usually does the right thing, but you know, once in a while he gets it, like everybody. Once in a while he slips a little, and you could be mechazik him. It's the right thing to do. Now, but you have to be very careful. I mean, it's not, be very careful with Tochach. Now, you say also this impression that I don't think it's a big deal. Well, not necessarily. I mean, it really depends, because as I said, we're not mochiach frequently now, often now, because we don't really know how to do it properly, especially if he's talking during Kaddish and you're very careful to, like, walk away a little bit, or certainly not to, you know, lend an ear to hear what they're saying, or to even maybe give a little bit of a disapproving look, you'll get the point across that you don't think he's doing the right thing. Eating something of questionable hechsher, I don't think, you know, I don't know. It depends on the circumstance. If it's a situation where if Itaka says, oh man, I got this thing, you know, someone gave me this, I'm going to try it out, you want some, and you just say, no, thank you, and you know that it's something everybody knows, we don't eat that because the hechsher there is not something we rely on. And you simply say, no, thanks, I'm not hungry. That might give a wrong impression. Maybe you should say something like, oh, are you sure you're supposed to be eating that? I thought, my impression is we don't eat that hechsher. You know, something like that without, you know, shtachin him, or, but just like say, like making it seem as if maybe he doesn't realize that you would. But the bottom line is you have to use a lot of chachma. Use a lot of chachma. And also, you know, with friends, it's a big deal. If he's a close friend of yours, it's much different. Then you're much more likely to be able to to point things out to him and to try to be mechazik him. If he's not such a close friend of yours, and certainly if he's somebody who's, more senior than you, whatever, then you have to be very careful. I don't think, most cases, I don't think it'll give the impression that you're a maskid. Most cases it wouldn't. But if you think you could accomplish something constructive, then avada you should, but you have to deal with great caution. Okay, so now we have two direct questions on Pesach. One is, do I have a chiyuv to do my own bedikas chametz the night before Pesach if I already cleaned my room before that? My father's doing a bedikah on the whole house anyways. I guess he means his room in the house. He cleaned his room, his father's doing a bedikah on the whole house. And the second one, somewhere, was about, do I need to do my own mechiras chametz, or am I automatically included in my father's mechir? It looks like the same person asked the question based on the handwriting. Maybe he was just the scribe for many other people, because a lot of them look like this handwriting. But it's really irrelevant. Oh, so it's Rabbi Schlissel's handwriting. Okay, fine. Okay. So in terms of a bedikas cham, it's in your room, should be done Leil Yudalid. Now, this is assuming your father's not doing, you said your father's checking the whole house anyway. I mean, if the whole house means your room also, if your father's checking literally the whole house, including your room, then you don't have to check it. Yeah, no, you don't have to do Bedikas Chametz if your father's doing it. At very least, it's Shlichus, but it's better than Shlichus. It's his house, not your house. you're the one, you're in charge of making sure your room is clean and everything like that. That's maybe more of a shalav kibud of aim than anything else. But if your father's going to be bodig your room, you don't have to make separate bedika. If your father's saying, no, look, you're in charge of your room, start to finish. I'm not doing bedika chalamis. In your room, I have enough to check, and it's your room, and I don't, you know, all your the ins and outs of your, you know, where you're keeping your six pairs of shoes and then sneakers. I don't want to move things. You take care of your own room. If that's what your father tells you, then yes, you should do it. Leil Yadalit, even though you've cleaned and everything, but l'chatchila we do a bedika when you're able to, when there's no reason why not, you're home then, and it's not a tircha, then you do a bedika leil Yadalit in your room. You should do that. You don't have to make a separate bracha. The best thing is when your father makes a bracha on the house, you should stand with him when he makes the bracha, and he'll be motzi you, and then he'll go check the rooms he checks, and you'll check your room. That's the best way to do it. But you should check it at night. If you're not going to be home, you're going to, you know, your parents are home, but you're going to somewhere else for Pesach or something. So then you check it the last night before you leave. If your father's not checking it, then you would check it the last night before you leave. In terms of mechiras chametz, so I would say it's like this: if assuming again you live at home, and but you buy your own stuff, and maybe you left some stuff in the yeshiva or somewhere else, and you really do buy your own stuff and buy your own food. So then you should authorize your father. You don't necessarily have to approach the Rav separately and write up your own shtar and make your own kinyan. I'm talking about you're living at home and your father's doing mechiras chametz. So just authorize your father. Tell your father, ask him if he could please, when he sells the chametz, if he could have your, you know, sell your chametz as well. You don't need any kinyan for that. I could ask anybody else to sell chametz for me. Shlichus doesn't need a kinyan, right? Your father's just being your shliach to sell your chametz on your behalf. So that's fine. You could just ask him to do that, and then when he speaks to the Rav, he should, you know, try to remember to say that he's selling for all the members of his family. And if you, Taka, believe that you left chametz in some other places, then it would be best if he would include that in the shtar. But it doesn't mean that, okay, I have to make a list of all the, everywhere I was in between Sukkot and last Pesach and now, every place I went, okay, maybe I left half a candy bar there and half a... It doesn't mean that. It means a place that you're, you know, in your room in yeshiva, if for some reason you didn't, hopefully you cleaned it out well, and you, so mechiras chametz isn't meant, you know, as a person, like a nervous person, could just write every place that he might have once accidentally left something, or on the other hand, you know, a person to not to clean up his room in yeshiva, for example, and just leave behind a box of cookies and stuff and not worry about it and just sell it. No, you're supposed to do a cleanup job, a proper bedika, and put stuff aside. But if there are places where you're actually leaving, let's say you do have a kabbi in yeshiva or something, when you have a shus to leave chametz there over Pesach and sell it, okay, then it should be included, preferably in the mechira. You know, it should be explicitly listed amongst the addresses where chametz is stored. But otherwise, if you don't really think you have chametz anywhere, just you don't know. So then you tell your father to include you in the mechira, and he includes your chametz, and you know, even if he doesn't list it separately. A person who's in Eretz Yisrael, for example, or he's staying there for Pesach, and he's basically living on his own for the year, and he buys, okay, the yeshiva feeds him, he's in yeshiva there, but he buys his own food too and stuff, yeah, then he should do his own mechiras chametz. In fact, I was in Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in 1977, and Rabbi Moshe Chait, Zichron Levracha, asked me to be in charge of the mechiras chametz for all the bachrim, with a certain rav in the badatz. So I had, you know, I got the shtaris from him and had to collect the shtaris. I remember I was going to Bnei Brak for the first days, and on my way out, it was the night before Pesach, night of Bdikas Chametz, and I had to make a stop in Yerushalayim by this rav and whatever. So then a few weeks ago, the rav has a, you know, distinctive name, not a name that Rav Breitstein. So I don't remember the name. I met a person here maybe a couple months ago here in Miami. His name is Breitstein. Say, and you know, I said, Breitstein, are you from the West? He said, no, my grandfather was. You get old, you don't realize how old you get. I think maybe this is the, no, it's not the Rav, this is his grandson. He was talking to the grandson of a Rav from the Badatz, who I had dealt with, I guess 77 was a few years ago. Huh? Anyway, so yeah, we all did our Mechiras Chametz. So you know, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, maybe you'll be the one to deal with the Badatz and on behalf of the yeshiva. In any case, so then you do your own mechiras chametz because you're away from home. You have your own stuff, and you're in this different time zone. Everything is different, so you do your own mechiras chametz. But if you're at home, you know you could do it the way I said. Okay. Well, let me address this one because also it's going to be very nogea. Maybe we'll broaden out a little bit. The question is the specific question is: can I write answers to math problems on Chol HaMoed if I'm studying for a big exam right after Yontif and there will not be much time afterwards to study? Can I write answers to math problems? I guess you want to practice the problems and you want to do the work and whatever. So it's a general question. I mean, it could be addressed as a general question about writing on Chol HaMoed for non-Moed purposes, but something that you have a tzarich in it. The best thing, a case like this, the best thing, if you could do it on a computer, do it that way. I imagine most people probably can. Do it on a computer screen without actual writing. Just do the writing on a computer screen and don't print it. Don't print it even. Just write on a computer screen. And this way, that's not really called writing. That's very kal on Chol HaMoed. Poskim allow that type of writing. If you're not printing, like sending a text message or something, a proper, permissible text message to send, even on Chol HaMoed is okay. Because it's not a ksiva shel kayama. You're not printing it. So if you can do it that way, that would be no issue. If a person can't, let's say it means pen and paper or pencil and paper, then it would have to enter into what's called a davar aved. Davar aved means I have an opportunity now to prepare for something or to take care of something which I will not be able to do afterwards, and it's going to be if I don't do it, I'm going to lose out on an opportunity or I'm going to cause myself a hefsid. So if it's legitimate that he has this big test right after Yontif. I would write after means. If right after, Yontif ends on whatever Tuesday, I think. If right after means the following Monday, but I want to go to Orlando for a few days in between. No, that's not called right after Yontif. Right after Yontif means right after Yontif, and his mom's not going to be a chance to prepare, and it could cause you a hefsid. You could do it. That'd be considered like davar aved. And writing, especially if you must write with a pencil or a pen, write with a shinoi, meaning write it on a slant. That helps. Cases where you're allowed to write very often, it's a mile. If you write on a slant, it makes it much better. And that should not be no problem, writing on the slant for your math problems, and just keep the columns in order so you don't get the wrong answer. And so that you'd be allowed to do. So in general, that's the rule. If it's something's a davar ha'aved, that even if it's not a tzarech of yontif, but it's a davar aved. And we're talking about a malacha which is, malachas hedyot, right? We're not talking about malachas uman. If you had to, it could be even mutter, but we're not talking about malachas uman anyway. We're talking about malachas hedyot, and you could do it with a shinui. And bottom line, though, the bottom line heter is that it's a davar aved, you'd be allowed to do it. But as I said, writing should be avoided. Writing is a sensitive thing that a lot of people don't realize the chomer of it, meaning there are a lot of coolers for writing, but it's not hefker. You can't just write. You could write a shopping list if you need. You need to shop for yontif for Chol HaMoed, not for after yontif. You can't write a shopping list for after yontif. You can't even go shopping for after yontif. You know that? Forget about chametz. But even if you're going to the store, and even if you're in the store already, and you see, there's something they're selling. There's something that's being sold here, which we're not using it on yontif. But I'll pick one up. I'll have it for the days after. It's not chametz. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to make any purchases on Chol HaMoed which are not for the yontif, unless again it's not going to be available afterwards. But available afterwards, you're not allowed to buy it. I mean, you're certainly not allowed to write for after the yontif. But something which is a tzarech or a davar aved, you'd be allowed to. Okay. Would you prefer that I now take a few open questions? Okay. Yeah. You're raising your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a random question. In terms of when Chazal talked about healthy foods, does it apply like today or does it apply?
Well, so I'm not a big expert on that, but one thing I do think that it does not apply. It doesn't apply, straight out for sure not. Healthy foods which are listed by Chazal as being healthy. Does that apply today? That was the question. So a lot of things have changed. A lot of shinu yateva. There's some of the yesodas that you'll find in Chazal or in the Rambam. I'm sure do apply, but it's not like you could just open up the Gemara do it. One thing I will say is it says that it's asr l'shtamish berfus chazal. Things that it says a refuah, chazal say you do this, this, and this, it's a refuah for whatever, you're not even allowed to do it. Asr l'shtamish berfus chazal. The reason it says there is because you might not get it exactly straight. You know, sometimes they mention things that seem quite unusual or very specific, and you might not get it exactly straight, and you try it, it didn't work, it's wrong. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not even allowed to use it, because, in fact, they ask a kasha, because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if a person doesn't washes his face in his morning, and he doesn't dry it, his face is going to crack. Right? So that's in the Shulchan Aruch, your face will crack if you don't dry it from when you wash it in the morning. So it says, what's the Eitzah? To wash very much with, I think, beet juice. To wash, you wash heavily. So they ask, I think the Mashiach says, why does it say that in Shulchan Aruch? You're not allowed to use Refuah's Chazal. Here it says what to do. It says Refuah. So the answer, because it says, do it a lot. So you could always say, you know what a lot meant. You thought you did it a lot. That wasn't a lot. You can't blame Chazal. They said do it a lot. You didn't do it a lot. But normally you can't. So you had to, you can't take it straight out of Chazal, and certainly don't you know, do it and say, okay, now I expect to be healthy, and if something goes wrong. But these, a lot of these might still be true, but it's certainly not a straight thing. Rabbi Schlitz, do you want to...
We'll stop there, but if anyone wants to ask them a question on the way out, we'll do Mincha 2:05 in the new measure.
Okay, thank you very much for listening.
You're in the middle of putting on tefillin, and then you stop?
No, not a regular day when you're putting on tefillin with the bracha and everything, which is, you know, except Chol HaMoed, then you're not supposed to answer.
So do you at least stop and have Mandri Yosef, or you don't?
I can stop and listen for a second, but you shouldn't make a major break. You're just supposed to put on the Shalyash or Rosh, back to back.
Can you stop?
I don't know. Something and you're not supposed to answer?
Sajman Esrei?